You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
That's Trump milling around a Chick-fil-A and being a man of the people, which is pretty impressive for a billionaire who's been rich his whole life. He's good at that. I want 30 milkshakes and also some chicken, which is our quote of the day and probably is going to be on the short list for a clip of the year.
I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken.
Yes, that sounds like a party to me.
And Joe is
right. What struck me about that clip?
The also is the key, as Joe pointed out, and also some chicken.
Can I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken?
What strikes me about that clip, other than that it's just hilarious on its face, is that he said, is everybody making money? Business is good. We're all going to get rich, right? Trump celebrates success.
Right.
In a way that has practically vanished from our culture. Now, certainly, he's got gold-plated everything. He does everything to excess, blah, blah, blah. He's like a cartoon version of it. But he's celebrating being successful.
Yeah, the idea of walking into a business and thinking about, hey, people are making money. You making money? Doing good? We're getting rich? As opposed to, here's stuff I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you some more of this and give you some more of that to try to help you out of this awful situation, which is what the Democrats always do.
Right, right. Speaking of awful situations, it is remarkable the extent to which the new book by Jonathan Haidt, The Anxious Generation, is coming into my radar screen in real life.
Mindshare.
My wife brought it up. She said, hey, what's the book that is about the internet and kids and their brains? I've had a couple of my friends ask me about it. And it just keeps coming up, and I'm seeing a great deal of attention paid to it in the media as well, obviously.
Right, all over the place. Podcasts, columns, TV shows. Yeah, I'm happy that people are talking about this because it's a huge story.
We quoted Peggy Noonan, a piece she wrote not too long ago the other day, and I'm going to re-quote it now. She wrote, there's a funny thing that happens in a nation's thoughts. At some point, everyone knows something is true and talks about it with each other. The truth becomes a cliche before it becomes actionable. Then a person of high respect, a good faith scholar who respects data, say, comes forward with evidence proving what everyone knows, and it is galvanizing. It hits like a thunderclap and gives us all permission to know what we know and act on it. And she thinks this is such a moment. Jonathan Haidt's new book, The Anxious Generation, and the subtitle is important, how the great rewiring of childhood is causing an epidemic of mental illness. And I revere Jonathan Haidt as well as some of the folks he writes with, like Greg Lukianoff, James Lindsay, and all. So I got the book in hardcover. I hold it in my greasy mitts now.
What a great title, The Rewiring of Childhood.
And he gets into, that is not merely a metaphor, he gets into the neurological reality of how kids' worlds have changed fundamentally. But I grabbed the book, and of course I read the introduction, and I thought I would share part of it with you. I thought it was so good. Now, I tend to see the world through metaphors. They help me understand what's going on, but I thought this one was so skillful. Suppose that when your first child turned 10, a visionary billionaire whom you've never met chose her to join the first permanent human settlement on Mars. Her academic performance, plus an analysis of her genome, which you don't remember giving consent for, clinched her for a spot. Unbeknownst to you, she had signed up herself for the mission because she loves outer space, and besides, all of her friends have signed up. She begs you to let her go. Before saying no, you agree to learn more. You learn that the reason they're recruiting children is that they adapt better to the unusual conditions of Mars than adults, particularly the low gravity. If children go through puberty and its associated growth spurt on Mars, their bodies will be permanently tailored to it, unlike settlers who come over as adults. At least that's the theory. It's unknown whether Mars-adapted children would be able to return to Earth at all. You find other reasons for fear. First, there's the radiation. Earth's flora and fauna evolved under the protective shield of the magnetosphere, which blocks or diverts most of the solar wind, cosmic rays, and other streams of harmful particles that bombard our planet. Mars doesn't have such a shield. So a far greater number of ions would shoot through the DNA of each cell in your daughter's body. The project's planners have built protective shields, but nobody's sure if they'd work. Children are at an even higher risk because their cells are developing and diversifying more rapidly and would experience higher rates of cellular damage. Did the planners take this into account? Did they do any research on child safety at all? As far as you can tell, no. And then there's gravity. Evolution optimized the structure of every creature over eons for the gravitational force on our particular planet. Then he goes into a fair amount of detail. Removing this constant pull profoundly affects our bodies. The muscles of adult astronauts who spend months in the weightlessness of space become weaker and their bones become less dense. Their body fluids collect in places where they shouldn't, such as the brain cavity, which puts pressure on the eyeballs and changes their shape. Mars has gravity, but it's only 38% of what a child would experience on Earth. Children raised in low gravity environment on Mars would be at high risk of developing deformities in their skeletons, hearts, eyes, and brains. Did the planners take this vulnerability of children into account? As far as you can tell, no. So would you let her go? Of course not. You realize this is a completely insane idea, sending children to Mars, perhaps never to return to Earth. Why would any parent allow it? The company behind the project is racing to stake its claim to Mars before any rival company. Its leaders don't seem to know anything about child development and don't seem to care about children's safety. Worse still, the company did not require proof of parental permission. As long as a child checks a box stating she has obtained parental permission, she can blast off to Mars. No company would ever take our children away and endanger them without our consent, or they would face massive liabilities, right? And then he departs the metaphor and gets into more of the literal stuff. His point being, everything from taking away free play and exploration and kids interacting personally with each other. I was just reminiscing about sitting around with my closest friend group in high school, including my girlfriend, and we'd be chatting about the world or whatever and laughing and joking. And then if there would be a lull, one of the girls would inevitably say, "Lull." And we would laugh and the conversation would continue.
That's pretty funny.
And so you're taking away the free play, the interaction, the conversation, the hanging out, the being bored. We can start there. And substituting this completely experimental, for-profit, deliberately addictive online life for children, and that's the whole Mars metaphor, whose brains have not formed. They will be formed on Mars. Or their brain will be formed online, no longer in the actual material world with actual human beings. At the moment, it is most plastic and changing most rapidly and most prone to mutation, hence his cancer metaphor there. That is when we're letting them participate in this for-profit experiment. What parent would consent to that, especially knowing that the for-profit companies involved don't know anything about child development, and to the extent that they've heard about child development, they don't give a crap. And I'd like to use a different word, because they don't.
So what is he talking mostly about kids doing? Just being on just screen time in general, or more specifically social media?
It covers a fair amount of ground, which is to Height's credit. Anybody who identifies a single narrow cause or solution is probably just grossly oversimplifying it. But yes, staring at the smartphone, social media, endless clicks, the endorphin generation, the what do we call it? I keep forgetting the term.
Dopamine culture.
Yeah, dopamine culture. We don't even like sit through a drama to get to the end and have a tear in our eye, but a joy because the hero, blah, blah, blah. No, just scrolling endless 8-second videos to get the shot of dopamine.
God, I got an example of that. I tried to watch with my kids. I subscribe to every streaming thing there is for some reason. And we were flipping through one of them and I came across, and I said, oh, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. It was one of your 60s Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, Fistful of Good, Bad, and Ugly. The good, bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. And Henry said, well, let's watch it if it's one of your favorite movies of all time. I said, it's probably a little slow for you. Anyway, so I put it on for the kids. I mean, this is among the slowest movies ever made.
Yes,
even,
it is.
Even by those days. I mean, there's not a word spoken for like the first 20 minutes. It's just like desert scenes and grimaces and music. And the pace of it, and I found it like nourishment. It was just like, oh my God, you can breathe, and this is art, and it's just, I'm loving this so much. But it was killing them. It was just killing them when they're used to the little tiny YouTube videos, just bah, 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 punchline, bah, 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 surprise, bah, 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 reward. Just constantly. I mean, there's no way they can handle that. Their brains are already so far down that road.
It's like your idiotic Marvel superhero movies that open with a gigantic action scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Uniformly.
Or people would walk out of the theater.
And I don't know how much you know about neurological development or if you've thought about this at all. I know a lot of you are probably ahead of us. Some of you haven't really thought about it. But the way a child's brain forms from conception through being like 24 years old, it's exceptionally plastic and builds itself. Once it's built, it's built. There's really no fixing it, or not very much fixing it. There are new techniques being developed, but if the building materials and the process of building are corrupted while it's being built, there's no coming back. The idea that a kid who's 12 right now and is already just constantly on social media, dopamine, 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 the idea that they can, when they're 37, realize, you know, I'm too into screens. I'm going to go to the woods for a week for an encounter, and that it will affect them the way it affects you as a, I don't know, 50-year-old, for instance, doing it right now. You're out of your mind. That's not the way it works. They are ruined. And I know that's a strong word, but look at the suicide rates, the anxiety rates, the depression rates.
So since that's probably most kids, what world are they going to create? What is entertainment going to be like? What are their lives going to be like? Their free time? What are they going to do for fun?
Well, it's a good point. In 2011, 23% of teens had a smartphone. Now a greater number of 8 to 12-year-olds has cell phones. Teens have gone from 23 to 79%. 8 to 12-year-olds have gone from almost none to 28%. Soon teens were reporting they spent an average of almost 7 hours a day on screens. One out of four, every four teens said that they're online, quote, almost constantly. Girls moved their social lives onto social media. Boys burrowed into immersive video games, Reddit, YouTube, and pornography.
Oof. Neither one of my kids have cell phones, but there's plenty of other ways to get screen time in. And all their friends have cell phones, so when you're at their house.
There is a huge movement starting, and I hope it gains steam. No smartphones till you're 16, at least.
Oh,
some people say 18.
God, the fact that they're allowed at school just drives me nuts.
No social media. None. Watch the social dilemma. The great documentary, I think we've got a link at armstrongandgetty.com. It is so good at explaining how this stuff works to deliberately addict your child. That's not an after, that's not a bug, as they say. That's a feature.
I've got more to say about this, but we got to take a break, and we'll be talking about this topic, like, probably for the rest of our careers. And so will the whole country. You can join in. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
According to new estimates, Costco each month is selling as much as $200 million worth of gold bars. Well, I'm not surprised, since you have to buy like 48 at a time.
Costco selling gold bars, now generating up to $200 million a month in sales for Costco.
Wow. Who saw that coming?
Right. Because it's all, I guess it's the whole precious metals hedge against inflation, world's going to hell, gonna have to scramble off into the woods and fend for myself, apocalypse, Mad Max thing, I guess.
And people aren't entirely sure how to go about it, but if it's at their local Costco, they know.
We got
same place they get two enormous bottles of ketchup.
Yeah, you go off into the woods with your gold bars, I'm probably gonna take giant, giant pies, and we'll see how we each do. God, the pies at Costco are huge. Why? What situation are you in?
All right, focus. This is not pie talk.
Right. We got so many texts about...
Can I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken?
I might order that this weekend. 30 milkshakes and also some chicken. We got a lot of texts, of course, about the new book about our kids today and staring at screens and social media and rewiring the brain and...
The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt, right?
So, is the hope that everybody's on board with recognizing this now? I feel like everybody was, but I guess everybody wasn't.
Everybody is obviously a term that, well, everybody's not in on anything, but lots and lots of people, like Peggy Noonan said, we all knew it, but we didn't have the confidence to say, therefore we must blank. And a lot of people think that there are a number of different things. Actually, again, to his credit, Haidt gets into solutions, including, and a lot of it's not going to be legal. Don't look to the government to solve all of this. It's going to be, everybody understands, like smoking, like drinking. It's absolutely something a 14-year-old should not be doing under any circumstances. And any parent who permits it, that's perverse. Working toward that set of beliefs. One thing I left out of the previous screed was that all of these statistics about anxiety and depression and suicide and lack of friends, loneliness, happen simultaneously in virtually all of the industrialized countries where the rise of smartphones and social media occurred concurrently. It's a hell of a lot more than a correlation. So, anyway.
As you brought up the other day, and we've got this weird, the flip side of it being that we don't let kids play on playground equipment anymore. They don't allow recess if it rained because the grass is slippery. We've got all that stuff going on while they're doing the most dangerous thing for them in their brain and going to make them miserable all day, every day, and everybody's fine with that.
Yeah, we're much more concerned with physical safety, including crime, when it's down and they're at very, very little risk. And then we pretend like the internet, social media are just fine when they're enormously dangerous.
You'd be so much better off having your kid on the monkey bars than on his smartphone. I mean, it's not even close.
Right. More on solutions to come.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is something. Elevate. Axios is reporting this. They write it in a way that makes me insane, but good on them for being honest about the results. Exclusive poll, Latino support for the border wall and deportation jumps.
Interesting.
Yes. The percentage of Latinos who say they support building a border wall and deporting all undocumented immigrants has jumped by 10 points since 2021. According to the latest Axios Ipsos Latino poll. Then they couch this in ways that I don't agree with. The findings suggest that former President Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric are registering even among people who may have ties to immigration.
Holy cow. Idiotic is that?
Is it anti-immigrant rhetoric or anti-illegal immigrant rhetoric? There's a huge difference. And like 85% of the country is on board with the anti-illegal immigrant rhetoric.
That is an astonishing level of idiotic.
It goes on to say, before it gives you the numbers, which works against their own phrasing, the poll arrives as Trump's racist criticisms of immigrants are raising concerns about violence during the 2024 campaign.
Great, Scott. What is this?
This is from Axios, talking about their own poll. So their own poll results show that even Latinos have moved 10 points further toward what they're calling racist, dangerous comments and anti-immigrant bias. So their phrasing doesn't fit with their own numbers, which I find hilarious. But
what a beautiful illustration of how deluded people will become to protect their preconceptions. I mean, all of the data explodes their premise. I mean, it explodes it. And yet they cling to it and invent increasingly bizarre explanations for why the facts don't fit their precepts.
Or in the modern world, most of the readers of Axios lean left and they got to throw that stuff in there to make their readers happy and stick around and remind them, we're on your side, remember? We're on your side. Even though these numbers show that Trump might be closer to right than wrong, we're on your side. I think that might be what it is. But
so Trump, with his Svengali hypnotic powers, has convinced Hispanic people, who he secretly hates, or openly hates, I guess, according to Axios, he's somehow convinced them to be on his side. That's how evil he is.
It's still not majorities, but these are some pretty big numbers. 42% of Latino adults say they support building a wall or fence the entire U.S.-Mexican border. A wall across the entire border. That's a 12-point jump since December 21.
When you take into account the near unanimity of the mainstream media and the Univision and whatever these people happen to watch, the fact that 42% of them are like, build a damn wall, whole border.
Of Latinos.
It's right. The contest is won.
of Latinos, 42% say build the wall. The entire border. And we all as taxpayers paid for lots and lots of wall and all the construction material that goes with that. And it's just laying in the desert, getting ruined by the sun because Joe Biden won't allow 1 foot of wall to be built, even though 42% of Hispanics want it built the entire length of the border. The other numbers, 38% support sending all undocumented immigrants in the U.S. back to their country of origin. That's up 10 points since 21.
Wow. Again, among Latino voters.
Yes, among Latino voters.
Great, Scott.
And in addition, 64%, now you get into a majority, two-thirds of Latinos said they support giving the president the authority to shut the U.S. borders if there are too many immigrants trying to enter the country. It was the first time the survey asked this question. So two-thirds of Latinos say if there's too many people coming across, which now would be the case,
yeah,
the president needs to have the power to shut the border down.
He has it. It's absolutely there in the law. He has it. He just hasn't exercised it. Boy, just a quick aside to the folks. How different are these facts from the perception you would get from the mainstream media of what Americans think, including, you know, Hispanic, Latino Americans, whatever you want to call
it. Axios, in their own story, had to throw in his racist rhetoric and anti-immigrant bias. All right. And you do realize that the polling shows he's winning among Hispanics now. So, see, these things don't fit together.
Yeah, you got to explain those two things in your own story. Same sentence.
By the way, immigration is the third highest concern among Latinos in this election year. So, overall, for the public, it's number one. But for Latinos, it's even number three.
Yeah, yeah. Trump is such a wild card. He worries the hell out of me. Anybody who's listened to this show for a while knows I have high degrees of ambivalence about Trump. On the other hand, Biden has to go. Biden and the Democrats must go. Between the open border and the inflation and the perverse sick stuff being taught to our kids in schools and universities, they've got to, the whole DEI thing, they've got to go. And increasingly, that's what everybody, not everybody, a lot of people are saying, black men. Have you heard about this poll, different poll? This is in the Wall Street Journal poll of seven swing states. Most black men are still with Biden, but it's gone from just single digits to now 30% of black men in the swing states say, I'm voting for Trump. 57% still with Biden, but 30 is huge growth from, I mean, even 2020, it was 12. Before that, it was smaller than that. But yeah, in the last 4 years, support among black men has grown by 18%. It's almost tripled. Black women are still leaning more heavily Democrat, but they are wobbly and starting to look at alternate candidates, your third-party candidates.
We have no idea what the parties are going to end up being here in a couple of years. They're realigning, as everybody knows. And we've got, like, this weird, like, everything is on hold because we got the same two candidates running again. But once this is over, Biden and Trump can't run again. It has to be two brand-new people. There could be a major realignment that all of a sudden pops up in front of our faces, and it's just a different world. Politically,
I think that's much more likely than not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. Oh, speaking of poll results, this is just a lovely poll. Recent poll by Pew Research shows that nearly half of Muslims in the U.S. and the U.K. support Hamas in its war against Israel.
Who did that poll?
Pew.
Oof.
One of the super heavyweights. Nearly half of British Muslims say they sympathize with Hamas, while just one in four believe that the Palestinian Islamist terror group had committed murder and rape during the October 7th attacks on Israel, according to Pew. So more than double sympathize than even admit. I mean, because you could conceivably say, look, Hamas are brave freedom fighters, and they're right to do it, and Israel's a colonial occupier, blah, 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 all that bull crap. But okay, some guys went too far. It happens in war. It's ugly, but it happened. Nonetheless, Hamas is in the right. But those people won't even admit that it might have happened.
Yeah, we had that one quarter number the other day, and I forget who was Douglas Murray, who's a Brit, was commenting on it and said, this is not an Israel problem. This is an us problem, talking about London. And that one quarter of, you know, people don't even admit that it happened. But half of Muslims are support Hamas.
49% of U.S. Muslims believe that Hamas's reasons for fighting were, quote, valid. Only 22% that Hamas said Hamas's reasons for fighting were not valid. Keeping in mind, Israel hasn't occupied Gaza since 06. Free elections, elected Hamas, then they canceled the rest of the elections, well, but they continue to enjoy a great deal of support.
Well, and also keeping in mind, Hamas as an organization exists for one reason. It only exists for a single reason, and that is to kill all the Jews on earth. That's what brought them together. That's what gets them out of bed in the morning.
And more directly, to wipe Israel off the map, yeah. Yeah. On Tuesday, the White House condemned chants of death to America and death to Israel, chanted by Muslims during an anti-Israel demonstration in Dearborn, Michigan, for the Al-Quds Day, an Iranian-backed anti-Israel observance that was started by the Ayatollah Khomeini, who was actually name-checked.
We have breaking news. This is giant breaking news. Breaking news, donkey. Breaking news, donkey.
You're scaring me.
Nobody's paying any attention. Breaking news, donkey. We have a celebrity death.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Orenthal James Simpson has died. O.J. Simpson.
Damn!
Has passed at the age of 76. He never found the real killers.
Kind of makes me hope there is a hell.
He didn't live long enough to find the real killers.
That's dryly hilarious, and I salute you for it. I can't actually laugh, but again, rotten hell, murdering scum.
What did he die of? Did somebody cut his head off, or was it natural causes? Because, I mean, if there's karma, it...
Yeah, no, don't know.
Boy.
Everything's changed now, Jack. Wow, you.
That's...
I thought the president had...
You thought the president had plotzed, or
something significant was happening. You abused the donkey.
What?
You took our trust and urinated on it.
I do not agree. I think O.J. Simpson dying is a big one.
Please,
let me switch to cable news channels. They're going berserk.
It's not
going to
change anybody's life in any way.
Oh, that's
O.J.
true.
O.J. Simpson dead.
That's true. But
battle,
I mean, you talk
cancer.
About a major cultural touchstone. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, great. Of moments in my life. Yes, Katie Green, yes.
Well, I know this is urgent information. He apparently was diagnosed with prostate cancer in February and has been undergoing treatment and lost his battle. Okay. Their words, not mine.
Well, okay. You talk about a cultural touchstone of moments in my life that stand out, like in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Being in that giant sports bar where we were in Charlotte, North Carolina, as radio hosts when the verdict came in. I can still picture the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the shocked silence.
The shocked silence, that's right. But anyway, you are correct. It's not going to change anybody's life. Well, the real killers get away.
Again with that. The LAPD framed the guy who did it. That's the summary of the O.J. story.
I imagine there'll be statements from Nicole Brown. And is dad still alive?
Lisa Brown, I think, is still alive.
I don't remember all the names.
Is Fred Goldman still around?
Fred
I don't
Goldman.
Know.
Yeah. Yes, Michael.
It will be interesting to see how... stations like ESPN cover this. Will they focus on his sports achievements,
no,
or
no,
will they?
No, no.
Or his murders.
He's
go ahead, finish the sentence.
He's been persona.
The murders he got away with. Yeah.
He's been persona non grata in the sports world forever. They never show highlights, even when he was one of the most exciting to watch running backs in history. You don't see highlights of O.J.
Yeah, he did. He's not Pete Rose. He didn't bet on the Phillies. He hacked two people to death.
By the way, there's a new Pete Rose book out. Have you read about that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it looks to be pretty good. But this guy who grew up idolizing Pete Rose and wanted to write a good Pete Rose book, spent a lot of time digging into Pete Rose and talking to Pete Rose and everything like that, and decided Pete Rose is a scumbag. He's an awful human being through and through. And that's the book he ended up writing.
Tell you what, if I was down one run in the ninth and there were two guys on base, I'd want him in the batter's box. Great, great hitter. Unbalanced jerk.
Yeah. And
next, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And if I needed 2 yards in the snow, I might hand the ball to O.J. Simpson. But I ain't going to return those glasses. They got left at the restaurant.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. May he rest in anguish.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76, I think.
Yeah. We'll get back to real stuff coming up. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like he's not really the juice anymore.
We got a text saying, yes, it's like he's not really the juice anymore.
Juice!
That's Ross from Friends in that fabulous miniseries about the O.J. story. We got a bunch of texts. O.J. died of frostbite. The glove didn't fit. Will it be the white Bronco instead of a hearse?
Keep them coming, folks. Keep them coming. Love it.
Well, when bad things happen to bad people, it might be like if The Rock, turned out to murder somebody. I mean, OJ for us, for our age group, he was just as lovable and likable and friendly and pitch man for all these different products and on Monday Night Football. And what a fun guy.
Yet to the extent that he was flawed, it was like he's a little goofy and not to be taken seriously. And then he commits horrific acts of murder, allegedly.
Right.
And if a single person emails us and says, you know, he was acquitted, I'm going to find out who you are. I'm going to come to your home and I'm going to greet you warmly and explain why it's irrelevant. Anyway, completely different topic. Oh, going to sneeze.
I'm sure we'll see the polling on that again today where people are on the verdict. And I know that has shifted over the years. It used to be all white people thought he was guilty, all black people thought he was innocent. But I know the black people numbers have moved more toward the guilty over the years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and we could reparse the dynamics that made the jury do what they did at the time, but who has the time? I don't know how your allergies are everywhere in America, but holy cow. Oof. Anyway, Breitbart reporting Joe Biden is secretly flown. Dig these numbers now. 33,000 migrants. Even on the right, why are we using the term migrants? Somebody explain that to me. Illegal immigrants, or even let's compromise and say immigrants. Migrants is a term designed by the left to... All right. The extent to which conservative America allows the left to dictate the words we use, it annoys the heck out of me. So Joe Biden has secretly flown 33,000 illegal immigrants into New York City and 326,000 into Ron DeSantis's Florida over the last several years.
Wow.
A review of available federal records shows the Biden administration has secretly flown all those people around. The number of illegals that Biden has flown around the country dwarfs the number that Greg Abbott, for instance, the governor of Texas, sent via bus to Deep Blue Cities, even though it was Abbott who suffered, we all remember this, the barbs of the left-wing media for daring to bust 40 people to Martha's Vineyard.
Using them as pawns, like they're not even human beings. Wow, this needs to be more known.
And this has been completely ignored by the media, of course.
What's the point of even following the news?
It gives you a glimpse of some stories. According to a report by Todd Benzman, senior national security fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, those are serious people. Biden imported more than 800,000 illegals into the country via a program called the CHNV program or the Advanced Travel Authorization Program. These programs send planes directly to foreign airports, load them up with people who have not gone through the normal immigration process, and then fly them directly to U.S. airports where they are dumped into the American populace. All this is done without any notice or coordination with the local government officials.
God, and what's that cost?
I'm not sure if they get into a dollar figure here, but it's got to be an astonishing amount of money.
Right.
More than any of us will ever see in our lifetime.
Wow, the amount of attention that the reverse got, Abbott and DeSantis flying these people to Martha's Vineyard or Boston or whatever, and the names they were called, just people practically crying on MSNBC about using these people as political pawns, dehumanizing them, while Biden's doing it multiples that for his own political needs.
You know, I tried not to live my life completely cynical and with contempt for all the people I disagree with.
Knock it off!
But it's getting harder and harder. Ron DeSantis, speaking of that fine gentleman, said recently it's a secret because they're not telling anyone. They don't tell us anytime someone comes in. They don't give us any information. They're not coordinating with the state government at all. If they throw six people on a commercial flight from a foreign country, there's no acknowledgement at all to state and local authorities. That's just a fact. Meanwhile, Eric Adams continues to cry bitter, bitter tears at the biggest city in the country being, quote unquote, overwhelmed by these, quote unquote, migrants. So do something about it. Biden has the power to seal the border, but he's not.
What an interesting story.
Armstrong and Getty.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.